Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can get the latest and greatest Pelicans analysis. Thank you for tuning in today on your Wednesday edition of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a game day. The Pelicans take on the Orlando Magic at home. It's actually the start of a six-game homestand for the team after their five-game road trip ended the other night on Monday, or during the day, really, with a loss to the Indiana Pacers. They had two wins on that road trip, finished 2-3. Hopefully they can get some home cooking going and stay competitive throughout the six-game series. They really need to go 4-2 if they want to stay, you know, in competition for that eighth seed in the Western Conference playoffs, which, frankly, though they've been close recently, they could be out of it by the end of the month. So this is a very key homestand for the team. Need to get some wins tonight against Orlando, which is a struggling team, has just one more win than the Pelicans, same amount of losses, and a not very good offense. The Pelicans have a chance to get it. I'm going to preview that for you in today's Locked On Pelicans. I'm also going to talk a little bit about Drew Holiday and the offensive struggles that he's had and that the team's had since he's been back, something that a lot of people haven't really noticed. Is he kind of hurting the team more than he's helping? There's some numbers that say, yeah, that's the case. And if you heard me talk about it yesterday, over the past two games, I think he has just 12 points. Not very good. Needs to do more than that. But he hasn't been. So it's going to be an interesting topic. We'll talk about, you know, how he's maybe been good for the Pelicans later on in the week. But I want to focus on the offensive struggles right now, because this Orlando game, with both teams ranking in the bottom five of offense in the league, could be pretty just gross and ugly, and a lot of misses or turnovers, whatever, just not good offense. There's a lot of potential for that. So it seems a little bit poignant to talk about that today. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for any team you follow in the NBA or NFL, coming to you 5 days a week. There is nothing else like this out there right now, so make sure you subscribe to anything you like or have any interest in. You know, I know you're all Pelicans fans because you're listening, so please make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, on Audio Boom. You know, the podcast is on Twitter at Locked On Pels. It's available on any podcast app you want. Download it. Get it to your phone for your commutes to work. There's a reason I put it out at 6 a.m. for that. Make sure all those people who want to hear Pelicans first thing in the morning, and I mean, come on, it's basketball. It's awesome. You definitely want that. You can get that. So it's always going to be good that way, though there are some delays on occasion. If you get a chance, follow it on Twitter. Like I said, Locked On Pels. There's also a Facebook for it. It's just Locked On Pelicans if you search for it. You can like it there, favorite it there. Make sure you're always getting the podcast when it comes out. So Drew Holiday and the team kind of being worse with him. And we know that when he came back after his absence from the team, taking care of his wife, the team started to play better, and their overall record is better since he's been back. But when you start to dive into some of the individual numbers there, I wouldn't say they're alarming, because, again, the team is winning and they're doing okay. But it speaks to some inefficiencies and shows, you know, if the Pelicans front office, you have to assume they're looking at this kind of data, realizes they probably need to make another move for score to keep this offense afloat. You know, the whole plan was have Anthony Davis carry this team and get enough around him and it should be okay. Well, we've seen, you know, he can carry this team by looking at his points per game numbers. What is it, second in the league? But, you know, he doesn't have enough support around him. One of those guys was supposed to be Holiday, but over the past two games, he struggled in winnable games for the Pelicans. Even though Davis went out against the Pacers, they only lost by three. They really had a chance late, but Holiday scored under 5 points in that game. That's not going to get it done. You need more from that, especially from a starting point guard. So since he's been back, if you look at the on-court, off-court numbers, and I don't have the specific updated ones, but I can give you a general idea of everything. The Pelicans have actually been much worse. You know, at one point they were, it was like 7 points worse per 100 possessions with him off the court. So they were about 7 points better per 100 possessions with him off the court than when he was on. It's not good at all. You need your starting point guard to make it so that you're, you know, scoring and facilitating the offense. And if you look at it, a lot of the players play better without him. Solomon Hill, Etuan Moore, Dante Cunningham all shoot from three better without Holiday on the court than they do on. And a lot of that probably has to do with some of the early season missing of him, where you had Tim Frazier in there, who's more of a pass-first point guard and can kind of spread the ball around, you know, maybe spark some more ball movement in that offense than Holiday's necessarily capable of. Though I don't know if that's only it, but it is one part of it. The other part of it is what Jason Colmes of BourbonStreetShots.com has kind of described the process, but in terms of the Pelicans. And one part of that is getting Davis the ball and letting him score and carry this team and kind of putting up the numbers that he's putting up now, basically to kind of make up for missing the All-NBA team last year, which cost him that Derrick Rose Rule money, which meant his extension was worth like $25 million, I think it was, less than what it could have been. That's, a lot of guaranteed money you're giving up. I don't think any of us wouldn't want $25 million more, even if we already had $100+ million. So it's trying to make sure that he gets the ball, and Holiday, when he's out there, rather than necessarily scoring, is looking to dish to Davis more, and he's looking to pass and dish to Davis more than any other player on this team. He's trying to get Davis the ball, let him get his, potentially meaning he's going to get the ball to Davis and pass up a better shot for one of his teammates. So it could be the case. You know, it also means maybe he gets a good look at the rim and dumps it off to Davis. And, you know, that's happened a couple of times this year. Graham McQueen over at BourbonStreetShots.com actually had a good article about this. You can see it. He drives to the rim. He's got a video of it on there. Drives to the rim, has a clean, easy layup at the rim, dumps it off to Anthony Davis instead. And Davis just kind of bobbles the ball and gets it. It goes out of bounds because it wasn't the best pass to him in that situation. So, you know, it goes to show you, you know, maybe Holiday needs to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more assertive, maybe hog the ball a little bit more. He's shot well-ish from three this year. He's a pretty good spot-up three-point shooter. But, you know, you'd like to see him scoring at the rims more, drawing more free throws, which is something he hasn't quite done this year. And it's been disappointing overall from that. You know, he's a looming free agent. You have to figure he's going to be in line for a max contract somewhere. Who knows where? There's not a ton of free agent point guards out there right now, if you look at the free agent list for this upcoming offseason. So someone's going to max him out because they need someone. Do you feel comfortable with the Pelicans doing that? I'm not sure I do at close to $25 million a year. He and Davis at that point are going to be taking up about 60% plus of this team's salary cap. And for what he's given you on the offensive end, and he's not as bad as this season is saying, though I don't know if he's a whole leaps and bounds tons better. So it makes you wonder what the Pelicans want to do. Maybe they need to cash in on him and get something in return for him right now. Around the trade deadline, he's one of the more tradable assets on this team, a team that's really got no war chest here to try and make a move. Holiday's one of the better ones. So with his struggles, and he's not really helping this offense, and we've seen this offense stagnate late in games, especially when Anthony Davis is out of there, well, what do you do? And it's something Dell Demps is going to have to really look at over the next couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline. It's not going to be easy. And it's going to be a tough decision. It's going to shape the future of the franchise. And I have no idea what's going to happen. As we get closer to the trade deadline, we'll get more rumors and things like that, and we'll have an idea of it. You know, I think if they get a good deal on the table, they should probably take it and pull the trigger and move Holiday, as much as that would kind of hurt. He's a guy you really want to like, especially after the situation with his wife and their first child. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You've got to get what you can for him and make this team better and start making the playoffs, especially while you have Anthony Davis. I think they probably don't look at it like that. They, you know, Joel Myers has said it on a couple of broadcasts that the front office consulted Drew Holiday about offseason moves. I don't think you really do that unless this guy's in your future plans. I don't think you're going to do that if you're going to let him go after this year. Why ask him what he thinks about Solomon Hill if he's going to be playing with him for one season or half a season if you trade him? I don't think that's going to matter there. But you never know. They still might move him. You might just ask all the players, and it could be that. We're not entirely sure. So it's one of those things. They're kind of in a rock and a hard place here because they're not going to get great value in return for Holiday. You know, I don't think he's going to fetch a first-round pick. I don't think he's going to fetch, you know, a tremendous established NBA player. You know, there were rumors that Minnesota had been looking for him before, but then they went and drafted Chris Dunn, and you got to wonder if they still have that same type of interest, especially with Zach LaVine coming on, you know, pretty strongly as well. You know, they might look to move Tyus Jones, but Drew Holiday for Tyus Jones isn't something you really want to be interested in unless it sends out Omer Asik's contract. But at that point, even then, I don't think that's what you want to do. So it's one of those situations. We got to wait and be patient till we see some more dominoes fall in the trade area. And later in the week, I'm going to have a guest on. We're going to talk more about why we shouldn't give up on Holiday just yet. But the numbers are pretty bad. You should go read the article. Take a look at it. He just needs to be more decisive. Attack the rim. Get fouled. Make your free throws. That's going to really help this team. It's something he's not doing enough of. When his shot's not falling, he needs to try and, you know, impact the game otherwise, which is something he hasn't done. So hopefully against a pretty bad Magic team, he'll be able to do so. Now, before we get to the Orlando Magic in the game preview, I don't want to mention something. You know, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and to 54, then your company could be advertised right here on Locked On Pelicans. Our audience is 97% men, and 79% of our audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Very good demographics for any company at all. And, you know, recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing a product they learned about from podcasts, and 60% give an equal price and quality prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. You know, our rates are very reasonable here for Locked On Pelicans. Feel free to email me at it's Jake, J-A-K-E, at bourbonstreetshots.com. It's ST, bourbon, stshots.com. You know, you guys hear me do some of the ads we have on the show, the live reads and everything. And, you know, I know not the most fun thing to do, but that's what keeps the content for Locked On Pelicans free for listeners and why we're able to do this constantly. So it's only a good thing. And frankly, there's very good demographics. It's a lot of fun to do this. People are listening to the podcast. I can assure you of that. So it's a great opportunity for your business or businesses you might know about. And now back to the fun stuff of basketball and games. Although this game, I'm going to be honest, against the Orlando Magic actually might not be very fun, let's say. Both the Pelicans and the Magic are pretty abysmal offensively. Davis is listed as questionable right now for the Pelicans after the nasty fall with his left thumb and his hip injury. Man, looking at that and the fact that he went back into the game after that happened, or he didn't go back into the game, but he was listed as doubtful as opposed to questionable, which is what he normally is after an in-game injury. Something just tells me he's not going to play. I think the Pelicans look at this and think maybe they can get the win at home against the Orlando Magic without him, just how they kind of did it on the road against the Brooklyn Nets without him, where you kind of just get just enough from your guys. It certainly wouldn't, you know, it's going to hurt the Pelicans' odds of winning if Davis is out. But something is, and it's just a gut feeling, says he's not going to play and he's going to be out for this game tonight in the Smoothie King Center against the Orlando Magic. That's not the worst thing, because for Orlando, they've also got some injuries. Bismack Biyombo, I think, was listed as questionable the other day. There's no word on him yet. That's the big man they signed from Toronto. And, you know, their leading scorer right now, Evan Fournier, is also listed as questionable. That's their leading scorer, like I just said. Him being out, just would incredibly help the Pelicans. They kind of need that, even with Davis. You've got to wonder, you know, if this team can score enough in any game to try and get the win. But Fournier's out. That's definitely going to be a good thing for the Pelicans. Like I said, leading scorers, averaging, I forget it off the top of my head, I can take a look for you guys, 16.5 points per game. Pretty high. Definitely, you know, an important thing there for them. So, you know, overall, you know, especially if Biyombo's out, they don't have a very good front line, despite having a lot of bigs that they play in Biyombo, in Nikola Vucevic, blanking on names right now, of course. But anyway, and they've also got Eric Gordon, who's really more of a four than a three. And Serge Ibaka, that was the kind of the trade they moved, where they moved Oladipo to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have these three big guys that, in theory, sounds like a fearsome front line if you rotate them, right? Just between the three kind of playing power forward and center, you can always have two out there. Doesn't do that good on the glass, to be honest. On the season, you know, they're right around the middle of the road when it comes to rebounding. They give up a lot of rebounds to their opponents. They're at the bottom of that in the league. Definitely not what you want. You can they're not a good offensive rebounding team. You can grab offensive rebounds against them. Again, they're middle of the pack when it comes to defensive rebounding percentage. So even without Davis, the Pelicans should be able to do a very good job on the defensive glass, which is always going to be key for them. Need to get above that 80%. You got to do other things when you get above 80%. It can't just be that, as we learned against the Indiana Pacers, where they had over 85% defensive rebounding percentage. But against Orlando, this shouldn't be a problem like it was in Chicago, hopefully. What might be a problem is Vucevic has played very well against the New Orleans Pelicans. And, you know, if Davis isn't in there protecting the rim against him, it can be kind of a challenge. You know, he's athletic. He can slash and score. One of the things is, now that the Pelicans have gone to this small lineup more with Hill and Cunningham, you can at least have those guys kind of match him a little bit in athleticism. You lose the height battle there. But if they don't get blown by, I mean, if you try to guard him with Davis or Oshik, even Davis might get beat by Vucevic off the dribble. Those two guys should be able to stay with him. Now, if they don't and he gets by, there's going to be no one defending the rim against that. There's no one to rotate over. That could be a problem. That's why you'd really like Davis to play, among, you know, a myriad of reasons, really, to be honest. But it's going to be that. He's the guy to really watch out for. Is a bit scary. Aaron Gordon's the other guy. He's shooting from deep better than he has. He can score and has just, you know, you guys have seen his dunking ability all over SportsCenter and everything. Those are the two guys. I mean, if Biyombo's out, cool. If Fournier's out, even better. Just kind of tap down on those two guys. And, you know, you should be okay. This isn't like a Magic team that's going to roll over. They've got Frank Vogel as their head coach. And they're trying to win. They want to prove that they can kind of be in the thick of the Eastern Conference playoff race. Though, you know, they're 12th in that conference right now. You know, fairly far behind in terms of, like, they're like three or four games behind the eighth seed. But they think they've got a lot of young talent. They want to try and win. They want to prove it. And you've also got Elfrid Payton, who went to ULL, and he's from Gretna. There's going to be probably 50, 60 people there rooting for him. He's been improving every year that he's been in the league. And, you know, he's a guy the Pelicans probably could have drafted too. But he could beat them. He's played well against them in the past. You got to figure being at home, kind of in the home game for him, homecoming game, can give these guys a shot of confidence. Look what it did to Buddy Hield. Pels need to worry about him. Don't let him drive into the rim. He's not a great shooter. Holiday, you got to put him out there just to play defense against him, even if Holiday's not giving you a ton on offense, which limits you on the other end of the ball. You see how everything is tied in together. So it's going to be an interesting one. Even without Davis, the Pels probably have enough talent to keep it close, though I don't think they're the better team in that case. With Davis, yeah, they should win. But with the Pelicans, you know that's never going to be guaranteed. So we'll definitely see what happens. It should be a tight one. It's going to be sloppy and ugly, but it should be a close, exciting game at least, and maybe that makes up for it. So that's going to be it for today's Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the game. I'll be there in person. It's nice to get back into the Smoothie King Center after the team being on the road for about 2 weeks. Start of a six-game homestand. Pels can go 4-2. I'd feel good about them after this. Don't know if that's going to be the case, but we'll talk about everything on Locked On Pelicans. We'll talk about Holiday, improving and why maybe the team shouldn't give up on him and maybe why they should give him that max deal this offseason, or maybe what they could trade for him as well. We'll talk more trade targets. You know, if they want to compete and be in the playoffs, you can't do it with this roster right now. We've seen that. They need to make a move. Who should they target? Who might they target? Are there some ridiculous trades maybe they would actually be able to do if the universe was just a little bit different? We'll even have some fun talking about those as well. So we'll have a jam-packed rest of the week here on Locked On Pelicans. So I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Oh my God, I can't talk. At Nola Jake on Twitter. There we go. Probably a good thing we're wrapping up the podcast. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.